December 25th, 2011. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Here on my pad in Pedro. Not with Brother Matt, not at the Love Grotto, but joining me is original G, Pedro, man, Richard fucking Bonnie. Back home, because 4 years now you bailed?
Five.
He's one of those rare types of Pedro guys that actually leave town after being born here. And he's here to visit a...
family.
Yeah,
family.
For
family
Halls.
Friends.
Yeah, we started off with I Talk to the Trees by John Coltrane, then Intersection 01 by Sawako. So, when did you get here? Day before yesterday?
Day before, Friday night, out of SFO.
SFO, you didn't do the truck, that's right.
No.
Usually
drive.
Richard does the wheelio, but...
No.
The time he did the dealio on the flylio.
Gotta be quick, in and out.
Flybow.
Flyby.
Oh, yeah, because tomorrow morning, early.
Work.
Early.
In SFO. For SFO. A new bowling alley.
So 5 years there now.
5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, it seems so quick.
And I just saw you. You were just in San Fran.
To do Stooges.
Stooges, two nights, Warfield, good shows.
Right, and you took me to some good chop pads.
Yep. Pakwan.
Pakwan in Mission with... Pakistani Chow,
and then we went to Sunflower, which is Vietnamese
Sunflower,
chow.
What, across the road?
Across the street, almost, yeah. Two different nights,
which
yeah.
Which is Vietnam Chow.
Vietnam, really good food, both places.
Great, good chows, and you went to both gigs.
Mm-hmm. And where else did we go? We did the Asian Art Museum.
That's right, for the Maharaja.
Maharaja.
Had the little install of the India Princes before...
Before England.
Mom rushed them.
Started.
Even change your clothes for them.
I know. Before the puppet strings got
the puppet strings
hooked up.
Riding on the elephants. That was some trippy stuff they had.
I know. Really exotic, gaudy silk robes and
jewels. And giant hookahs.
Yep.
And the spit tune. Remember they had the little gear that set up with their little pillow?
Exactly. The little,
little loogie. Bucket.
What were the yak fly swatters and stuff? How'd you like
that? It
was that
a horse
job?
Tail for keeping the flies away.
Flies off you. I want that
whisk.
Gig. Whisk.
They called it the fly.
Imagine that guy's wrist, huh? All day doing that?
Not a lot of weight.
Yeah, but still.
No.
Like, what do you do? I do this.
I'm a whisk man.
I whisk.
And they were in the Paytons.
Yeah.
You see the dude there?
They were there. Always there.
And the cat behind him with the horse tail.
That was job security, though. That dude always had a gig. You know what I mean? His gig.
Probably took blows and a little hissy fit, so. Right? The dude couldn't find his pants or something. Take it out on him. Yeah, working for the man.
Working for the man, Mike Watt.
Speaking of which, what about those elves? They just had a night, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear some Xmas songs.
How, how, fucking how, what a crock of shit. We all work for Santa Claus, we've had enough, we quit. Cause we do all the fucking work while he stars in the show. Stick your Christmas up your ass, how, how, fucking how. I'm Rudolph and I quit. Just knows he think he is. That little fat cunt sat back in the sleigh cracking that fucking whip. And me stuck up the front of these other useless cunts. Stick your Christmas up your ass, ho ho fucking ho. Ho ho fucking ho, what a crock of shit. We all work for Santa Claus, we've had enough, we quit. Cause we do all the fucking work while he stars in the show. Stick your Christmas up your ass, ho, ho, fucking ho. And what about us elves? We've had enough as well. Working in that raisin factory, cold as fucking hell. Work until we drop with our bollocks freezing off. Stick your Christmas up your ass, ho, ho, fucking ho. Ho, ho, fucking ho, what a crock of shit. We all work for Santa Claus, we've had enough, we quit. Cause we do all the fucking work while he stars in the show. Stick your Christmas up your ass, ho, ho, fucking ho. I'm Santa Claus's wife, I know what he's really like. Sneaking into them little kids' rooms, he's a fucking pedophile. A devious old drunk, and I'm married to the cunt. So stick your Christmas up your ass. Ho, ho, fucking ho. Ho, ho, fucking ho. What a crock of shit. We all work for Santa Claus. We're bad enough we quit. Cause we do all the fucking work while he stars in the show. Stick your Christmas up your ass. Ho, ho, fucking ho. Stick your Christmas up your ass. Ho, ho, fucking ho. Stick your Christmas up your ass. Ho, ho, fucking ho.
I'm talking about friends. It was Christmas Day, and Daddy the car wiper hit the street junk, sick and broke, after 72 hours in a precinct cell. It was a clear, bright day, but there was no warmth in the sun. Danny shivered with a bitter cold. He turned up the collar of his worn, greasy black overcoat. This beat Danny wouldn't pawn for a deuce, he thought. He was in the West 90s. A long block of brownstone rooming houses. Here and there, a holly wreath in a clean black window. Danny's senses registered everything sharp and clear with the painful intensity of junk sickness. The light hurt his dilated eyes. He walked past a car, darting his pale blue eyes sideways in quick appraisal. There was a package on the seat, and one of the ventilator windows was unlocked. Danny walked on 10 feet, no one in sight. He snapped his fingers and went through a pantomime of remembering something and wheeled around. No one. Bad setup, he decided. The street get empty like this, I stand out conspicuous. Gotta make it fast. He reached for the ventilator window. A door opened behind him. Daddy whipped out a rag and began polishing the car windows. Feel the man standing behind him. What are you doing? Danny turned as if surprised. Oh, just thought your car windows needed polishing, mister. The man had a frog face and a deep south accent. He was wearing a camel's hair overcoat. My car don't need polishing, nothing stole out of it neither. Danny slid sideways, the man grabbed for him. I wasn't looking to steal nothing, mister. I'm from the South, too, Florida. Goddamn sneaking thief. Danny walked away fast and turned a corner. Better get out of the neighborhood. That hick is likely to call the law. He walked 15 blocks, sweat running down his body. There was a raw ache in his lungs. His lips drew back off his yellow teeth in a snarl of desperation. I got his score somehow. If I had some decent clothes... Then he saw a suitcase standing in a doorway. Good letter. He stopped and pretended to look for a cigarette. Funny, he thought. No one around. Inside, maybe, phoning for a cab. The corner was only a few houses away. Danny took a deep breath and picked up the suitcase. He made the corner, another block, another corner. The case was heavy. I got a score all right, he thought. Maybe enough for a 16th in a room. Danny shivered and twitched, feeling a warm room and heroin emptying into his vein. Let's have a quick look. He stepped into Morningside Park. No one around. Jesus, I never saw the town this empty. He opened the suitcase. Two long packages in brown wrapping paper. Took one out. It felt like meat. He tore the package open at one end, revealing a woman's naked foot. The toenails were painted with purple-red polish. He dropped the leg with a sneer of disgust. Holy Jesus, he exclaimed. The routines people put down these days. Legs! Well, I got a case anyway. He dumped the other leg out. No bloodstains. He snapped the case shut and walked away. Legs, he muttered. He found the buyer sitting at a table in Harrow's cafeteria. Thought you might be taking the day off, Danny said, putting the case down. The buyer shook his head sadly. I got nobody, so what's Christmas to me? His eyes traveled over the case, poking, testing, looking for flaws. What was in it? Nothing. What's the matter? I don't pay enough. I tell you, there wasn't nothing in it. Okay, so somebody travels with an empty suitcase. Okay. He held up three fingers. For Christ's sake, Skimpy, give me a nickel. You got somebody else. Why don't he give you a nickel? It's like I say, the case was empty. Gimpy kicked at the case disparagingly. It's all nicked up and kind of dirty looking. He sniffs suspiciously. How come it stink like that? Mexican leather? So, am I in the leather business? Gimpy shrugged. Could be. He pulled out a roll of bills and peeled off three ones, dropping them on the table behind the napkin dispenser. You want? Okay, Danny picked up the money. You see George the Greek, he asked. Where you been? He got busted 2 days ago. Oh, that's bad. Danny walked out. Now where can I score, he thought. George the Greek had lasted so long, Danny thought of him as permanent. He was good age, too, and no short counts. Daddy went up to 103rd and Broadway. Nobody in Harrow, nobody in the Automat. Yeah, he snarled, all the pushers off on the nod someplace. What they care about anybody else, so long as they get it in the vein. What they care about a sick junkie. Wiped his nose with one finger, looking around furtively. There was no one he knew in the 23rd Street Thompson's. Jeez, he thought, where is everybody? He clutched his coat collar together with one hand, looking up and down the street. There's Joey from Brooklyn. I'd know that hat anywhere. Joey, hey, Joey. Joey was walking away with his back to Danny. He turned around. His face was sunken, skull-like. The gray eyes glittered under a greasy gray felt hat. Joey was sniffing at regular intervals. His eyes were watering. No use asking him, Danny thought. They looked at each other with a hatred of disappointment. Guess you heard about George the Greek, Danny said. Yeah, I heard him. He'd been up to 103rd. Yeah, I just came from there. Nobody around. Nobody around any place, Joey said. I can't even score for goofballs. Well, Merry Christmas, Joey. See ya. Yeah, see ya. Danny was walking fast. He had remembered a croaker on 18th Street. Of course, the croaker had told him not to come back. Still, it was worth trying. Brownstone house with a card in the window. P.H. Zuniga, M.D. Danny rang the bell. He heard slow steps. The door opened and the doctor looked at Danny with bloodshot brown eyes. He said nothing. He just leaned there looking at Danny. Goddamn alcoholic, Danny thought. He smiled. Merry Christmas, doctor. The doctor did not reply. You remember me, doctor. Danny tried to edge past the doctor into the house. I'm sorry to trouble you on Christmas Day, but I've suffered another attack. Attack? Yes, facial neuralgia. Danny twisted one side of his face into a horrible grimace. The doctor recoiled slightly, and Danny pushed into the dark hallway. Better shut the door, you'll be catching cold, he said jovially, shoving the door shut. The doctor looked at him, his face focusing visibly. I can't give you a prescription, he said. But doctor, this is a legitimate condition, an emergency, you understand. No prescription impossible, it's against the law. You took an oath, doctor, I'm in agony. Daddy's voice shot up to a hysterical grating whine. Dr. Winston passed a hand over his forehead. Let me think. I can give you one quarter grain tablet. That's all I have in the house. But, doctor, a quarter G. The doctor stopped him. If your condition is legitimate, you will not need more. If it isn't, I don't want anything to do with you. Wait right here. The doctor weaved down the hall, leaving a wake of alcoholic breath. He came back and dropped a tablet into Danny's hand. Danny wrapped the tablet in a piece of paper and tucked it away. There is no charge. The doctor put his hand on the doorknob. And now, my dear, but doctor, can't you inject the medication? No, you will obtain longer relief than using orally. Please not to return. The doctor opened the door. Well, this will take the edge off, and I still have money to put down on a room. Thought. Then he put down $2 on a $6 a week room in the West 40s, where he knew the landlord. He bolted the door and put his spoon, needle, and dropper on a table by the bed. He dropped the tablet in the spoon and covered it with a dropper full of water. He held a match under the spoon until the tablet dissolved. He tore a strip of paper, wet it, and wrapped it around the end of the dropper, fitting the needle over the wet paper to make an airtight connection. He dropped a piece of lint from his pocket into the spoon and sucked the liquid into the dropper through the needle, holding the needle in the lint to take up the last drop. Danny's hands trembled with excitement and his breath was quick. With a shot in front of him, his defenses gave way and junk sickness flooded his body. His legs began to twitch and ache. Cramps stirred in his stomach. Tears ran down his face from his smarting, burning eyes. He wrapped a handkerchief around his right arm, holding the end in his teeth. He tucked the handkerchief in and began rubbing his arm to bring out a vein. Guess I can hit that one, he thought, running one finger along a vein. He picked up the dropper in his left hand. Danny heard a groan from the next room. He frowned with annoyance. Another groan. He could not help listening. He walked across the room, the dropper in his hand, and inclined his ear to the wall. The groans were coming at regular intervals, a horrible, inhuman sound pushed out from the stomach. Danny listened for a full minute. He returned to the bed and sat down. Why don't someone call a doctor, he thought indignantly. It's a bring down. He straightened his arm and poised the needle. He tilted his head, listening again. Oh, for Christ's sake. He tore off the handkerchief and placed the dropper in a water glass, which he hid behind the wastebasket. He stepped into the hall and knocked on the door of the next room. There was no answer. The groans continued. Danny tried the door. It was open. The shade was up and the room was full of light. He had expected an old person somehow, but the man on the bed was very young, 18 or 20, fully clothed and doubled up with his hands clasped across his stomach. What's wrong, kid? Danny asked. The boy looked at him, his eyes blank with pain. Finally he got out one word, kidneys. Kidney stones, Danny smiled. I don't mean it's funny, kid, it's just... I faked it so many times, never saw the real thing before. I'll call an ambulance. The boy bit his lip. Won't come. Doctors won't come. The boy hid his face in the pillow. Danny nodded. They figure it's just another junkie throwing a windang for a shot. But your case is legit. Maybe if I went to the hospital and explained things, no, I guess that wouldn't be so good. Danny trailed off. Suddenly he put out his thin, dirty hand and touched the boy's shoulder. I'm sorry, kid. You wait. I'll fix you up. He went back to his room and got the dropper and returned to the boy's room. Roll up your sleeve, kid. The boy fumbled his coat sleeve with a weak hand. That's okay. I'll get it. Danny undid the shirt button at the wrist and pushed the shirt and coat up, barring a thin brown forearm. Danny hesitated, looking at the dropper. Sweat ran down his nose. The boy was looking up at him. Danny shoved the needle in the boy's forearm and watched the liquid drain into the flesh. He straightened up. The boy's face began to relax. He sat up and smiled. Say, that stuff really works, he said. You a doctor, mister? No, kid. The boy lay down, stretching. I feel real sleepy. Didn't sleep all last night. His eyes were closing. Danny walked across the room and pulled the shade down. He went back to his room and closed the door without locking it. He sat on the bed, looking at the empty dropper. It was getting dark outside. Danny's body ached for junk, but it was a dull ache now, dull and hopeless. Suddenly a warm flood pulsed through his veins and broke in his head like a thousand golden speedballs. For Christ's sake, Danny thought, I must have scored for the immaculate fix. The vegetable serenity of junk settled in his tissues. His face went slack and peaceful, and his head fell forward. Danny the car wiper was on the nod.
Xmas cheer there. Start off with something from Australia. Ho ho fucking ho from Kevin Bloody Wilson, who's biting on the Richard fucking Bonney.
I know, jumped my fucking train. Bloody Wilson.
And even he did with Bobby Ho too with his song title.
I know.
Chow with Bobby Ho yesterday.
Chow with Bobby Ho and Peter. He drove down from South Bay. Took him to Omelette Waffle
Where's he
Shop.
Live? Dondo?
He lives Hermosa.
Hermosa.
Yeah. By Will Watson, right across the alley
That's
from
right.
Will Watson. And,
That's right. If people don't know him, he was second drummer for Saccharine Trust.
Yeah.
And then with Watson and Ziegler, formerly of Slovenly. No, he was in Slovenly, too.
Slovenly. He was in Slovenly.
Then they made a trio called Underpants.
No, Overpass. Was it? It wasn't Underpants. Overpass, I thought. Yeah.
Was it Underpants?
It was Overpass.
Oh, not okay. Underpants. I fucked it up.
You fucked it up.
Some dudes, you know, I did the Unsilent Christmas walk in Santa Monica. Well, it was like a sprint, man. I'm barely hobbling. Kind of kept me up from... The dudes were jamming on it. But we were doing... this guy, Paul Klein, made this music. And there was four different versions. Everybody had it on... boom boxes. So it all made one piece from four different things. And some dudes from Manhattan were there, young guys. And
really?
They're starting a fanzine. They want to know the history of South Bay. So I put them in touch. They knew John Street. They knew where Watson lived and stuff. So
they should get a hold of Watson and Bobby Hull. And all those guys. Yeah.
Then we heard some stuff from the first Fall album, No Christmas for John Keys.
John Keys.
Well, if you put them together,
yeah,
it kind of gives you a hint on the what followed up after, which was The Junkies' Christmas by William S. Burroughs. And then finally...
Always a good family.
For you, Christmas Girl by Boston Spaceships. Boston Spaceships is Bob Pollard's latest band. Although he also got
guided back together, right?
Yeah, and they just made a new
album.
Released album,
yeah. I heard it's good.
It's, I think, an early 90s version of Guided.
That's another guy who never stops working, Bob Pollard. Ever.
A lot of tunes.
Always, I know.
A lot of tunes. Send some tootie toot.
I know.
Did somebody get a burglar alarm for Christmas?
Yeah. Come to Peter and they saw honky tonk. Honkies. I know. Turn it off.
Remember when they first came out of those, they were always gone. Especially be on tour, would be in Brooklyn or something, man. It'd be like hundreds of them gone. Let's hear some more tunage.
Ronnie Reagan. From the TV to your town, Ronnie Reagan. From the TV to your town, Ronnie Reagan. From the TV to your town, Ronnie Reagan. From the TV to your town.
groove. Balls out of rhyme move. The outcome of the act that keeps coming by.
For Pedro Show, you just heard Well Done by Bolabar. Sorry about that.
Bolabar.
Yeah, a band from Israel. I thought, you know, with the other holiday.
The other holiday, yeah. That other thing that happens. Which overlaps this year.
That's right. And before that, we had I'm Gonna Find You by Television. That's old stuff with Richard Hell. Never made it to an album. And before that, something from Glasgow. I got to play with these guys back in October. They called the Gummy Stumps.
Whoa.
Yeah, and a tune called Stark Reel. Yeah, they had one dude who did the rapping, a drummy, and then a guitar cat that had one bass string and two guitar strings.
Really?
That was trippy. They were great. Yeah, respect. Ahead of that, we had Ona Sendauda from Mihashi and Dorian Holder remix. Senor Dorian's from east part of Tennessee, and he's lived in Osaka for a number of years now, and he flowed that to me. Ahead of that was some old Tokyo hardcore, live 1986, The Ludes, but L-O-O-D-S. And then we started off with Johnny Ray Gunn. I guess he was from the 80s.
Not to be confused with Naked Ray Gunn.
No, there's the name of the tune. The band is John Wayne Bro.
John Wayne Bro.
That's the dude's pop's name. The guy in the band, his pop's name.
So my name is John Wayne Bro. Bro.
I think Bro's the actual last name.
Wow.
Yeah, ain't that a trip?
Yeah. We used to call each other Bro, remember? Dude.
Dude and bro. And Holmes.
And Holmes. And Holmes Squeeze.
Are you looking at the picture?
Yeah.
It's crooked, huh?
It is
crooked. Mark Rutledge from New Zealand painted that on me.
Except no
picture.
Face, just swelled up middle finger.
You must.
I never noticed that. You must. That's what happens when I work.
Yeah. You must have. Well, you got to get a ring on it too. That might.
Well, that's what I do. Why I do it, so don't get so fat I can't use it.
Yeah.
But you only can get swelled up so much.
I mean, from years of touring and the times I toured with you guys, you probably have so many paintings that people give you. Because I remember, like, nightly sometimes.
The one on the prac pad that's about the size of that whole bulk.
Exactly.
That's when I had 500 teeth. In fact, I had to take it off the wood thing and roll it up.
Couldn't get it in the van. Where did he give us that? Philly?
At the cruise.
Oh, yeah.
But and I'm holding a big bottle of liquor. A base in one hand. And
yeah.
It's got three X's on the bottle.
Exactly.
Seckies. shit, we're at the end of the first hour of the Christmas Xmas
but
edition
weather.
Of the Watt from Pedro show, December 25, 2011. Hold tight for hour two. December 25, 2011. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Povelo, 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 pov Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. Start off the second hour with something from Ethiopia to celebrate the African holiday around, this time called Kwanzaa. Although it's not from there. I don't know a lot about it.
Invented here.
It's U.S. people.
U.S. people
that came over from
Kwanzaa.
Africa. Okay.
Yeah.
So this was a tune called Mwa Balu from Molekin Melesi. And had Flea on the show once, and he had just come from Ethiopia, and he brought a lot of the music.
Really?
It was, yeah, righteous. He talks, told me about this instrument called the choral. There's one for a bass and one for a guitar. Kind of has gourd. It's string.
Yeah, made with gourds.
And he says when they dance, they dance with the shoulders.
Really?
Yeah, it's a lot of shoulder jam and not so much hip. That's like shoulder. And then we heard Future Police by Drum Eyes. Shigay there. I heard he just moved to Berlin from England. And then finally, Leaf for Fukushima, Ryuichi Sakamoto, Shimi, and Ushan. Shimi, of course, is...
Shimi.
Yeah. Part of the trio that helped make the music for the upcoming Spielgusher album.
When is that?
Mike Mishuko on the drums and Richard Meltzer on the poems. Comes out January 17th.
Yeah.
So less than a month now.
There you go.
Clanch Ranch. What's the first Xmas you remember?
5 years old, maybe. Five. Yeah, around five. I come from a big family, so I just remember that it was chaos. I just remember, like, not wanting what I got. I think I got, like, a little toy truck or something. And my brother got a bike.
Oh, and you got gypped.
And I wanted the bike. Yeah, I wanted the bike. Yeah, and it's probably a used bike my brother got because we were very poor.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of us. We didn't know we were poor, though. The best part about being poor when you're a kid is... You don't know you're poor because people around you are poorer than you are.
In that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Barton Hill, right?
Barton Hill, yeah. So you kind of think like, wow, you know, they got nothing. You know, I got a little something. So, you know, when you don't know you're poor, it's kind of different, you know.
But you were kind of jonesing for the bike.
Bike, yeah. You wanted the bike. But
you didn't want to make a trade.
No. Kidding me? Not my brother. No, it wasn't going to happen. I remember stealing it, though, once. I remember taking it and wrecking it. And
borrowing
it. Yup. Oh, God. I got the ball.
You wrecked it?
Wrecked it into a car. I got the ball crunched big time. I was going too fast. It was too big for me.
Yeah.
And I came down like a... It wasn't even
on the bar?
It was a grade, you know, like this. And I couldn't... I just freaked and wrecked right into a car, man. And I just had to come home in pain, walking the bike home. Yeah, I remember that.
He wasn't totally blasted, though. He could ride it again.
Oh, yeah. He could ride it again. My balls were totally blasted, though. Never got over that one for a while.
Oh, man.
How about you? Where were you? In Virginia?
Yeah, when I remember... Yeah, it was blurry. I guess I remember the tree.
Yeah? You were like Norfolk, right?
Yeah. I think my memory is a tree.
I think my
for some reason, maybe the smell.
Too. The smells I remember. And yes, I do remember the trees because the ornaments. My mother had these ornaments from New Mexico from when she moved. My parents were married in the 40s. And so she had these old ornaments. You know what I mean?
Oldie time.
Yeah, which probably are worth like money these days. Because my mother didn't throw away a lot of things. Were they glass? Yeah.
Real thin.
The real thin, like they really nice ones. And, you know. The thing about my mom is, you know, of course, you know, like I said, we didn't have a lot of money, so you didn't get new things. When you got something, you kept it. And back then, the stuff was good quality, so it stayed. Yeah, I go to my mom's now. You know, she passed away this year, but she still has like the pots and pans of skillets. You know, the black ones from like. She
big
got
iron,
for her wedding. Yeah, the big
days.
Iron skillets that she got for her wedding, you know, that she still used for, like, Jesus Christ, 60-some years, you know.
That's what you call season.
Yeah.
We got some kraut rock.
As the gnarled green oak woodenly climbs out of history, aging by counts of rings born from phylum to bark to leaf, this venerable spirit spirals up from well-earthed roots, like tenacious claws hugging the dirt with mad desire. Each tiny tendril of fibrous resolve ruts between the soil in a languorous search for those thirst-quenching pearls. A tree's eternal quest for wet abandon amidst rock and bone, where to find and slake on that chance of water. Which direction of crawling dendritic convection will divine the wellspring and turn undying thirst into fresh green growth, into cool blue air exhaled? So sighs the tireless wood and leaf, refreshing the wind, like Atlas holding together the very bonds of earth. Such an impossibly slow feat. How many have died at your feet? How impatient we must seem, rushing through your pithy dreams. We sprout, give leaf, go to seed, then rot and fall. A blur, a flurry of self-import, and you've hardly breathed at all. While too few marvel at your tall, enduring charms, and far less can assess the truth of your generous arts. Like the memory of a whisper, or the weight of the world, I am shaded in my mind by the grain of your kind. Thank you.
Surfing urban terrain, perhaps riding some street waves.
Go, 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 go.
Herman on guitar.
Whoa, with bone foam.
Ding-a-ling.
Here, read off the songs. Some krautrock. See right there? That little block.
Let's see.
Party.
The first one was Party number one. A Faust. Not to be confused with Feist. The other one was Paper House. It's a live one from Can. And then we had Between the Eyes, live. Amour, Duel 2.
Amandul 2.
And then another one called Amour, Lingum. God, what? I can't even read this stuff. You didn't tell me it was going to be all foreign language. Third one. Fourth one.
Oh, Amour, Lignum, Gnarled Oak.
Ouch.
Amour is French for love.
Yeah, I know that one.
And,
but
this guy, Chris, that's by Chris Goger, his poem. Uh-huh. And he's Austin, Texas, so not too foreign.
Oh, it's Texas.
And, yeah, he just used a French word in there.
He was speaking Texas.
Lignum maybe is a Latin word or something. Okay, and then we heard Street Waves.
How are you?
Something live from Home and Garden. And Tony Mamone. Brother Tony just told me he went back for Christmas to do some Home and Garden. This is from August. He got to jam with Scott Krause on drums, Tom Herman on
back
the guitar.
Back to Ohio?
Yeah, Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland. Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, Tony went to Turkey because it was on the computer that he was posting pictures of Turkey, him and his wife and kid.
Miri.
Yeah.
And Milo's the son.
Milo.
Yeah. Yeah, respect Brother Tony there. And he says, Bob Teagan was there filming the gig, so I'll have some of this stuff.
Cool.
This was like 2 days ago when he just played with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Teagan, old school, Detroit. Remember, we should stay at his house in Detroit.
I still do.
Swimming at 3 a.m.
What's it called? Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
That suburb.
Yeah.
He filled in the pool.
He did?
Too much trouble.
Really?
He just filled it in?
I always thought it was strange he had a pool in Detroit. You know what I mean? Outdoors.
I know. Well, he filled it in, so you don't have to worry about that.
No more ice skating in the winter? No more hockey games?
No more hockey. You were looking at this Steve McKay record.
Yeah, right? I was looking at the new McKay.
Yeah, Steve McKay's got a new record called...
it is called North Beach Jazz.
Right.
My neck of the woods.
But he lives in Pacifica,
nearby. It's
nearby,
but...
It's kind of like where PCH starts when you... Start going down.
You start going down towards Santa Cruz. Really beautiful in Pacifica. I'd like to live there.
And we got some music here. I play all the bass on this album. It was done in Sunset Beach, believe it or not.
Was it really?
Yeah, they just annexed themselves, though.
Did they really?
Orange
to who?
County. I think to HB.
To HB?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But ahead of that, we got some Wakine. What feed Russia? Thank you.
We're going to call that one Relaxing at Sunset Beach, as opposed to Relaxing at Camarillo.
You just heard Relaxing at Sunset Beach.
Yeah.
Hence the title where we recorded. Right. That's Steve McKay from his new album. And ahead of that was Wakine, something live called Calling the Sun from Within a Puddle of Illusion.
Whoa. That's a mouthful.
Pretty heavy. Much respect to Wakine.
Wakine, where's he from?
Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Yeah, Brother Tack, Brother Ken. Yeah. Last Christmas, I got to, last Xmas, I had a jam with him.
That's right, you went there last Christmas,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, and that was...
And weren't you in the last
maybe 12 or 13 of them.
You were just out there not too long ago, too.
Yeah, yeah. I did Third Brother, Sister, yeah. Daughter album. We're at the end of the second hour of the Xmas edition of the Watt for Pedro Show 2011. Hold tight for hour three. Xmas edition, Watt from Pedro Show. Third hour. Thank you.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with big old jam from Kira Sakata, Jim O'Rourke with Chica Marachi. A tune called Hanamaki off a live album they just did. Jim O'Rourke, I did a duet with him album. Ain't finished because he wanted me to come home and do spiel, and he had heard that D. Boone had showed me some stuff on mandolin, so he said, well, please play some mandolin on this album.
Are you serious? You can play some mandolin?
First mandolin I've ever done
on an
album.
Do you own a mandolin?
Yeah.
You own one?
A little pot belly.
Yeah?
A Japanese one. You know, it ain't old school Italiano, but it looks like one.
Yeah.
I think Suzuki makes this.
Yeah.
And it's from those old days.
Right.
D. Boone, Roy Mendez Lopez had taught him.
I remember D used to play the mandolin. I remember someone gave D a mandolin one time to play.
I remember him and his bro Joe were doing some kind of tussle.
Some finger picking?
There was a cock sack on the deck, and like, there was mandolin under it,
really?
Kind of buried, and they're like tussling and stuff, and all of a sudden the foot crunch!
Oh.
Yeah. Stomp.
Oh, man.
Got some barn stuff.
I went by D's old house the other day, yesterday.
Well, kind of.
Kind of.
Talking about Park West?
No, Santa Cruz. No, not early days. I'm talking Miniman days, Santa Cruz.
The last pad.
The last one, yeah. The last one he lived in.
Yeah, because Park Western, it's called Tarragona now. Tarragona. It's even called Battery Street.
It's got a new name.
I think it's Via Francesca or something.
Yeah, I know.
Track homes.
No, that's where D's to sneak off to Las Brisas and get carnitas burritos.
Oh, Cruz. That's second to the last.
Really?
Last one.
Oh, last one was Denison.
Denison. Right. Down Denison. By Brother Matt.
Moore. Right. By 30th Street.
The other one was close to Barton Hill.
Barton Hill by me, yeah. Yeah.
Brisas was right around there. And also Pascuaro's.
Yep. He would sneak off. He'd tell Linda he was going to go mail a letter.
He'd go get mailed.
He'd get...
Probably mailed the letter, but...
He mailed the letter. Yeah, he didn't lie. It was only a fib. It was a half
Well, there was other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, there was things on the way.
That was really close to the Star Theater, too.
Right across the street. He was like half block away from the Star. Matter of fact, Bobby Ho picked me up. We went up and he goes, this looks familiar. I go, well, the Star Theater used to be right there.
Right. It's an empty lot now.
Yeah.
And on his corner was Can Can Club.
Can Can. Matter of fact, there was a fire there this morning.
Right really?
There, big fire, yeah. Heard all the fire trucks, First Street, First and Pacific.
Damn.
Pedro. This weather's like summer, dude. Unbelievable weather.
Yeah, people, it's got to be in the 70s here.
Yep. That was
what do you got planned for next month?
Next month, working, building a bowling alley, San Francisco, Mission Bowling Club. And then...
how many lanes?
6 lanes with the bar and a restaurant. My friend Molly in summer building it. My friend Mark Huff.
What locale?
Mission, 17th and South Van Ness.
Okay.
Should be good.
What's
Should
it called? Nice.
Mission Bowling Club.
It's going to be called Mission Bowling Club. So after Richard fucking Bonnie gets it built, you guys go there and bowl your brains.
You can throw overhand, because I do.
Well, speaking of January... Here's a song by Thirst off of Soul Army Did Live called January. Thank you.
sees her sleeping on the grass. I think I heard a distant splash. And in July he came to play. By January she learns to pray. Your shoes at the door. Waves come crashing to the floor. He sees your swimsuit on the grass. I thought I heard a distant laugh.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Hurt Thirst doing January from his new Steve Shelley-less solo album. Steve Shelley's playing with a band called The Disappears nowadays.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Still living in Hoboken.
Yeah. You know it.
Yeah.
We saw Jella. He came to the Stooges gig, the first one, and he handed me some music from his new Guantanamo School of Medicine band. And here's a big jam. I mean, Dead Kennedys weren't known for the big jams, but there's a big jam here, yeah.
We'll be right back.
Oh,
Watch for Pedro show. Good people, I gotta admit, I took some scissors to Jealous Park there. Now, I thought it was 21 minutes, but it turns out, whoa, there were 6 minutes of space there, and he probably did that on purpose, you know.
Let you contemplate what you just heard?
Yeah, think about things, and then surprise you with the
wrap your mind around it.
The reach around.
Well, I call it a wrap around, but Watt calls it a reach around. Yeah, wrap your mind around that.
Wrap something around something.
Pedro means a couple different things.
So what I did, I went and scissored out that 6 minutes of blank and just got into the second part of it after a few seconds. But just imagine there was 6 minutes of blank there, okay, a little Cajun maneuver. And then because of that, we had a chance to play some more music. So we finished up with Mr. Tom and Herman doing When I'm Gone from his solo album.
During that 6 minutes, we could have did yoga and stuff like that, Watt. But Watt wasn't into
I know,
that.
But I was thinking of the listeners and like them thinking if we just conked out.
I know.
You know, there was a New Year's show. I did it at Peaks a couple years ago where I didn't make it to the end of the show. And when I was listening back, I heard some kind of mumbled
snoring
talking. And then, you hear the forehead hit the desk. And then, you hear some snoring, and then you hear some laughing as she's looking for the mouse trying to click it off.
And you
terrible.
Were, and you were the mouse.
I was the mouse.
You were sleeping.
I was conked right there. And when I woke up again, it was sunlight.
It was New Year's?
It was January 1st.
New Year.
I'm going to try to do one. It's next Saturday, New Year's
really?
Eve. I think. Yeah.
Are you doing the polar bear thing still? You still do the polar bear when
you're
down? I
didn't do it last
down?
Year because of the hurt knee, and I'm debating whether, it's starting to get better. And so all I have to do is tear it up, and a wave gets me.
I know.
Can't really wear a brace into that water.
Not really. That's some cold water, too, in Pedro.
Yeah, what about... I got a buddy who does it in Coney Island, okay? Yeah. 40 degrees.
Russians.
Yeah, they cut holes in the ice,
cut
right?
Cut holes in the ice, yeah.
Hey, much respected, and they came out again to do some protests.
Yeah, cool.
And I read in the paper, Mr. Putin called them a Western Stooges.
Oh,
yeah. I was thinking, Stooges.
Stooges.
I've seen old Soviet era bootlegs of Stooges.
Really?
Where they had to hand paint the cover. They didn't use the actual covers.
They couldn't use the actual cover, censor.
Well, there was some hand, reproduction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Putin's nervous.
He is, a little bit.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
But that's tricky.
Can't
people
get away.
Coming out and saying.
You can't get away with what they got away with before. The world is, what they say, the world is watching. The internet.
Yeah.
Cameras.
Okay.
Everybody. So, he's nervous.
I know, but we had the fucking Arab Spring that was pretty bitching, toppled some regime.
Yeah. So...
So you're going back home tomorrow morning?
I'll go back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. flight.
And we'll start pounding on the bowling alley.
Start pounding a bowling alley out. And, yeah. And then you come up in March. No, April, right?
But I'll be up your way.
You'll be up my way?
Yeah, I'll be up your way.
Why don't you come up my way?
We come up your way.
We'll go eat some chow.
Yeah. And work for Dawn.
I'll take you to Chinatown next time. Hunan Home.
Hunan Home? Good
Hunan Home.
Good shovel?
Good shovel. Big time. And it's hot. You'll like it.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Szechuan spice.
Szechuan spice. It's really hot.
It's been bitching to have you come aboard. We spend a show here.
Thank you, Mike Watt. It's always good to come home to Pedro. I love this town. My heart's here, but actually, no. My soul's here. My heart's in San Francisco.
You left there it. You go.
I left it back there. I got to go scoop it back up. It's on Mission Street somewhere.
Okay. But you know what isn't there?
What?
Park it. Remember we were looping it?
We looped it.
We did many loops. We had to fucking throw some chinquan finally.
I'm ashamed to say I paid $15 to park in San Francisco.
Well,
but
I flew some. Oh, yeah. No. He did $5 because truck surcharge.
No, surcharge. But what helped? What helped with the fucking flow? And then we valeted. But anyways, yeah.
You like this Silk Road?
Yes. And Watt gave me an awesome book, and let me read the title for you. Walt gave me an awesome Christmas gift, as he always does. Impeccable tasting books. It is called Traveling the Silk Road, Ancient Pathway to the Modern World. And it looks like he got it from the Natural History Museum, American Museum of Natural History. And it's incredible. You also gave me some great Japanese books before, in the in the past, for Christmas.
Well, these are the neighbors and the road.
Yeah.
The old days that you used to take to when you did tours.
Exactly. their form of touring with yaks and
Oh, by the way, next year, last year, the Econoline, kind of sad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I know.
I'll tell you guys about next show. The end of the year wrap-up show will be my cry for the counter line.
Yeah.
But I've got a plan B. I think I can make it to the middle 60s. Okay. Next week, people, Brother Max Love Grotto will do the end of the year show. Richard Buckmeyer, thanks so much for coming aboard.
Thank you, Mike.
It's been it's 2011.
2011, Mike.
Edition of the Waffle Pedro Show. Everybody, happy cheers.
Bye-bye.
Keep your powder dry.